Third and last study, the sixth chapter once again. And we will read from the 11th verse through the chapter and then go back to those verses that are a part of our study tonight. For tonight we're going to study about the greatest weapon of all. The 11th verse of the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We studied those verses last week. And now, this greatest weapon of all, the 18th verse. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. The greatest weapon, prayer. In the 18th verse, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We have studied for some time now the fact that we are in a warfare. Paul said we wrestle, all of us are. All of us are part of the warfare. And then we studied the armor that was ours last week. And I deliberately stopped with the 17th verse for here, having studied the armament that was ours, we find that one requirement which makes it possible for us to recognize that our power is in Jesus and our position is in Jesus and our protection is in Him. Now, we have taught it, you believe it, we're beginning to move out upon this great truth that we are in Christ. And that in Christ we have protection, His protection. And in Christ we are empowered. But how are we going to make these things actual facts in our lives? For once again we come to the difficulty of getting the truth from our heads to our hearts and in actual experience. And so Paul says there's only one way, and that is prayer. What kind of prayer? Constant, continual prayer. Only through prayer can the protection which is ours become an actual effect ours. Only through prayer can the power or the anointing that is ours become actually in effect ours. Only through prayer do you and I recognize who we are, what we are, and our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. And battles have been lost because some part of God's army sagged, gave in, were defeated because they allowed the enemy to defeat them in their prayer life. Prayer is something that is used, the words, so often that most of us could preach a sermon on prayer, and all of us can talk about prayer. And many of us find it easier to talk about prayer than it is to pray. But Jesus said, men ought always to
pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not cave in. And I will say that a church is only as spiritual as we are prayer warriors. And I will add something to it. There may be shining stars that come and go, but those people who abide with the touch of God on their life have a prayer life. It is as we pray that we make that contact with God that makes it possible for the gifts and the fruit and the graces of Jesus Christ to shine out of our life. And in refusing to pray, we damn the flow of blessing. So he says to us, pray. Now, how are we to have the spirit of the overcomer? How are we habitually to have the spirit of the overcomer? If you and I this evening are defeated, and I remember, I never preach at you, because the sword is two-edged. I preach at all of us, and it includes me. But if any of us are dejected or defeated or despondent, I guarantee you we have not waited before God. For when you wait before Him, there comes that touch from Him that renews our victory. And because prayer is that exercise that is not seen and that doesn't go down in the bulletin and doesn't make headlines, we leave it off. But to be an overcomer, there must be prayer. All right, let's read what the scripture has said. I'm going to take, we use, Paul said, stand therefore. I'm going to use this eighth verse and use stand and see what he says. Stand praying. Stand praying always. Stand praying with all prayer. Stand praying in the Spirit. Stand praying and watching. Stand. How? As we pray. And the prayer that Paul is talking about here is not reciting a prayer. The prayer Paul is talking about here is constant. It's a prayer life, prayed anytime, anywhere, in all of our life, in the good days and the bad. Not only constant prayer, it's intense prayer. It's prayer that is persevering. I read a phrase sometime this week. Let me see if I can recall it. Limp prayer. Limp prayer never accomplished anything. And Paul knows nothing about limp prayer. He talks about praying with perseverance. It is constant, it is intense, and it is unselfish. Or he says praying for all things. All right, look at this 18th verse with me. We're talking about the powerful wrestler is a prayer warrior. Stand praying. Now, subjectively, prayer means this. It means that I have admitted my ignorance and my powerlessness. It is saying that I cannot meet the warfare by myself. I must have help. Objectively, prayer is saying that in Jesus Christ I have that help. You see, there are three ways we look when we pray. Looking inward, looking to ourselves, we say, there is in me no good thing. Looking at Jesus, though, we say, but in Christ, I can do all things that are necessary. And looking toward Satan, we look as a victor who is given the power to bind him. And so this prayer, praying always, recognizing our own lack and our fullness in God. Now, the Bible tells us we don't know how to pray like we should. And when we come to that realization, then prayer becomes effective. Because we're saying, I don't know anything, I can't do anything, but I have a resource in Christ and He can. I have said it to you repeatedly, Some of you are too young to know it. Some of you will grow up a little to know it. Some of us are not mature enough to know it. But finally, there comes the realization in your Christian life that you don't offer God anything. For you tell me something you can give God He doesn't have. We talk about giving God our talents and our mentality and our possessions. Finally, you recognize that you come to Him and you are nothing. What do you and I add to God? Nothing. And when you recognize that you are nothing and you offer Him nothing, for you have nothing to offer Him, then He takes the nothing and He uses that nothing for His glory. I think it can be said it's a mark of immaturity when we think we're offering God something. We think of the people in the entertainment world, and if they got saved and had to quit doing the things they were doing, it would cost them something. Not so. No one has ever offered God anything except the nothing that they offer. God in His grace and in His power takes that nothing and uses it for His glory. Praying. And praying when? Look at the word. Always. Praying always. Now that doesn't mean that I will pray on Tuesday night and not pray anymore. Praying always. It means we develop an aura of praise and prayer. It means that at all times and all places and all occasions we pray. It means also that we have specific times to pray. I think that for all of us, we recognize that when we pray, we talk to God. But I found it also very true that when I pray, God talks to me. And probably before it's over, it's what God says to me that's more important than what I say to Him. Praying always. For David said, if I regard sin in my heart, God won't hear me. And when I begin to pray, God begins examining my heart and talking to me and leading me. And what God says to us when we pray perhaps does us more good than what we're saying to Him. For He makes the vessel that He can use as we pray. Praying always. When? You see, the devil never fears you so much as when you pray. He doesn't fear my prophesying like He does my praying. He doesn't fear my shouting until I've prayed through. Someone was talking about shouting the other night, and Lois said, well, when do you shout? It's after the victory comes. You gain the victory, then you shout. Where do you gain the victory? In the cross. And Satan does not fear this church while we sing and while we testify nearly so much as he does when he sees the weakest one on our knees calling out in faith to God. Pray, he said, always pray. And because Satan knows that when we call upon God, we are releasing the omnipotent power of God, he'll do all he can to stop us from praying. And I will show you how. Not only at church, I tell you what, he'll get you so tired when you start to pray, you get yawning. Oh Lord, you weren't sleeping, you're starting to pray. Can you help me suffer from insomnia? Get up and start to read the Bible or pray. You'll get sleepy. And he will cause you to have just no energy at all. You do a lot of other things too. If you try to pray at home, the moment you kneel, the doorbell will ring. Or the telephone. Anything to keep us from praying.
and then spiritually, he tries to will keep us from praying by causing us to doubt. Oh, the doubt will pass, but he whispers to you, it doesn't do any good anymore. And we'll stop your hand and quit crying. In one of our services for Pittsburgh not long ago, and I'm deliberately saying in such a way you can't possibly see what it is. Someone who hopes to be a part of a ministry, and they fall to me and said, "Sister, I've gotten to that place where I doubt so that I never even ask God anymore." And that's what Satan will do. He'll cause you to doubt. Some prayer wasn't answered when you wanted it or the way you wanted it. God didn't move like he expected to. And you will place doubt there, and doubt will keep you from calling on God. Doubt always is from Satan. The same as being discouraged. So pray always in the good days and the bad. And here's the secret all of us need to learn. We all pray in the bad days. All of us do. When there's nowhere else to go, we all go to God. But what about the good days? When the sun is shining and the heart is singing and everything is fine, pray then too. Pray always. If we develop the habit of prayer, the word habit is not necessarily bad, you know? We always ask people if they need prayer for habits. Some of them need some good habits. And praying is a thing that comes a good habit. If we develop the habit of praying in the good days, it's easier to pray in the bad. My favorite illustration. The little boy coming down the hill on a sled, and the snow, and at the bottom of the hill, the sled hit a tree, and he rolled over in the snow and got it, bloody dusting off in his snowsuit. And he looked up and said, "Oh, Jesus, I wish you were here to come down this hill on the sled with me." Oh, that's what it means. In the good days, talk to him. In the good days, enter into prayer. Then when the bad days come, and when the wrestling and the warfare is there, you're the talking acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray always. Look at the rest of it. Pray with all strength on all occasions, in all places, at all times, for all things. Pray with all prayer and supplication. That is, withstand Satan's attack and be specific in your prayer for others. And perhaps it would be well to stop here a moment to remind you that our prayer must be specific. Don't generalize, but make it specific. We say, "Oh God, bless my missionary." Be specific. If you know their name, call them. If you have a burden and you don't know for whom it is, you ask the Lord to help that one who needs help the most. When you pray for the unsaved, don't say, "God save the world." Call the name. Call the name. Be specific. Let that supplication be intimate. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, we said it earlier that our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. And so this weapon must be spiritual. Pray in the Spirit. I said earlier, we don't know how to pray like we ought. The Holy Spirit will pray for us. Do you know when you pray, the Spirit will teach you how to pray, what to pray for, how to word it if you're allowed to. So when you pray, whatever impulse of the Spirit that comes to your mind, obey it. And whoever he brings to your mind to pray about, pray for them. That's what he, the Holy Spirit, wants to do, is to teach us how to pray and for what to pray and for whom to pray. And the beauty of praying in the Spirit is we pray in the will of God. When I pray in the will of God, I have the answer. For the Bible says the Spirit searches the mind of God. He knows the mind of God. If I pray in my will, I a lot of times waste time. So I've asked the Lord for lots of things. But he had no intention of giving me, and I had no real desire for it. When I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit brings to my mind those things for which it is done. Spirit inspired, Spirit in wrought, Spirit taught, spirit directed, spirit energized. For those of you baptized in the Spirit, that's why tongues. That you may speak directly to God, and you may not have things in speaking of what you're praying for or for whom, but the Holy Spirit knows of a need, and He brings that forth through you, that the work of God might be continued. That's one reason we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God might pray through us. And then read on with me. Supplication in the Spirit and watching thereto. Vigilant. No laziness. No self-indulgence. Watching thereto. Now, how can we watch? I know there are all the stories about watching prayer. But how can we watch? All one way. Through a knowledge of the Word. You see, as you know the Word of God, you know the purpose and the plan of God for the world and for the church. And when you see things happening, you know how to pray according to the book. Daniel said he was reading and he found out there were so many years determined against Israel, and those years were up, and he began to pray for the deliverance of Jerusalem. And as you read through the Word of God, you find where we are, what God wants to do, what the promises are to you. That's how you watch and pray through the Word. Watch and watching thereto, praying for what? For all saints. Or that is to pray for my church. Praying for all saints. For all God's people. Everything. For all of God's people make up the body of Christ. And all of God's people need prayer. And when all of God's people are filled with power and are overcoming, then we take the kingdom for the Lord Jesus. Praying for all things. And then the next verse. And by the way, of all the letters Paul wrote, he asked every church he wrote to pray for him except one. He wrote to the Galatians, he did not ask them to pray, he said, you before you pray for him, I don't ask you to pray. But all the rest of them, he said, pray for me. Now, this shows you how important prayer is. For Paul is the greatest apostle of all. That's understood properly the general study of the book of Acts, and hopefully next Sunday we're going to find out whether they voted on an apostle when they shouldn't have. It was Paul, the apostle God had in mind to take Judas to death. You have to be in my class to find that. Be all that is in my surgery, Paul was tall and sounding about every other man in his generation, intellectually, spiritually, used of God, established the church among the Gentiles. That's the Peter had used the seed that in the book. Put the gospel in the world. Yet most of the epistles of the New Testament. And yet he would write to the common ordinary churches. He said, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. And anyone today that you see God using mightily up to go somewhere, people are on their knees praying for them and for their ministry. Pray for me. Pray for me. Then notice what he asked him to pray about. Well, he said, I'm in jail. I wish you'd pray for me because it's uncomfortable here. But pray for me. I'm chained to this soldier and I'm feeling sorry for myself. I must to be out and go where I want to. Go out to food in this prison. I had ambitions that were going to me. And I'm in this jail, pray for me, I got out of prison. I'm uncomfortable, pray for me. I'm unhappy, pray for me. I'm in jail and I'm just tired, pray for me. I don't have any dollars here, pray for me. So he was such a giant, and he wrote it from a prison. came to a Roman soldier and he said, pray for me that I may preach to God. It's all bogus. Oh, none of the few sort of Phoenicians then. None of life has been hard on me. Pray for me that I may boldly speak and give utterance to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I were to reject anything personally, if I were to ask you to pray for me, I would say, pray for me, that I would be able to preach the gospel as God wants me to preach it. Oh, that we would pray for each other, that we be used of God for our grace and God's program and God's plan. That's what he's calling me. Pray for me. And before we get off of the prayer, from Holy Things in the 3 verses, the prayer says, I would remind you that in God's promise, no one ever reached out. Mm-hmm. What's going to be with the Lord, man, but all the years on earth, he is getting ready to retire. He promised 40 years old, he's getting ready to retire. You might have supposed to succeed. There ain't nobody out here been the school of all but. Oh, there is just a prophet then. That's all I just found out. That's just 65. And I don't know what I'm going to talk to or what I do. God has no retirement. I kind of like that. Now, he may change that position, but he doesn't have a list of retirees. He promotes them. Nobody is fine. And some of us may be moved over from passive involvement in some things to a quality time. And some of us may be promoted from one act of the ministry to being a prayer warrior, and I said promoted. But you see, praying is something we all can do. From the least child to the oldest child. And God speaks in his death. Well, Sister Chuck, I can't believe that my prayer does that much good. Listen, I am saved today because a Christian sister prayed for me. I didn't ask her to, I did not want her to, I didn't want her to say anything they please, but she prayed for me. And when she would come to visit our home, I'd go out the back door. And if I met on the street, I'd talk to her and I'd talk to her while she was always inviting me to church. But she never got in Stephen's church, and she continued to pray. Every one of you that knows the Lord today, somebody prayed for you. It's not an accident that you came to know Christ. Someone prayed. And you and I need to be a part of that warfare that lays hold on the promises of God for the souls of the Lord. We need to pray. Now, 3 scriptures in Ephesians I'm going to give you, and I'm going to read this 13th verse in another translation. For our greatest weapon of all is to use of all time, and do which all of us require. And finally, sign up. The 4th chapter, the 27th verse, he says, we will give place to the devil. Don't become the devil's ally. Give no place to him. Don't listen to him. And in the 4th chapter and 3rd verse, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? Whatever in us that is contrary, he has the Holy Spirit grieved him. He is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of grace, and wisdom, and power, and life, of discipline and holiness. So that anything in me or in you that is unfaithful or unbelieving or ungracious or unwise or unfaithful or unloving or uncontrolled or unholy, grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. I went in the fifth chapter in the 18th verse. He says, give no place to the devil. Read not the truth. And then be filled with the Spirit. Why? Victorious wrestlers filled with the Spirit. Wisdom. The Spirit revolves the lives of the devil. Be filled with the Spirit's wisdom. The Spirit's power to stand against the devil. The Spirit's fullness. So that your supernaturally is kept beside you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit.